Well, no reason to stop the David Bowie there. There's a great review from Fresh Air. Hi, everyone. I'm Andy Klein, your host for Thursday's edition of A Juno Afternoon on another gorgeous and sunny day. A little cool out there, though. Highs today have been around 38 degrees. Increasing clouds are the forecast for tonight, with mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, a chance of rain in the afternoon, and then rain with snow likely Friday night. Rain is in the forecast for Saturday, and Saturday night with snow showers again likely at night. But then Sunday, just cloudy skies with only chance of rain showers, and then mostly cloudy skies for Sunday night and Monday, turning into partly cloudy skies towards the beginning of next week. So another clearing, a little bit of a clearing pattern, hopefully happening there towards the beginning of next week after a little bit of rain. We've got a great show for you today, including John Smith and his students going to be telling us all about the science fair coming up. Equivocation is going to be opening Friday, and Aaron Elmore will be here to talk to us about it, and Theater in the Rough. Also, the home show is happening this weekend at Centennial Hall, and Valerie Williams will be here. There's going to be a Friday wine tasting and a contractor's garage sale and workshops and all kinds of cool stuff happening at the home show, as it does every year, and we'll be talking about that. King Island Christmas Spaghetti Feed and Teen Dance is happening, another benefit to keep that King Island Christmas spirit going. And also we'll talk to Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up, find out all the stuff happening in the arts community coming up in the upcoming weekend. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. As again, I said, a beautiful afternoon here in Juneau, and might be the last beautiful afternoon we have for a couple of days, but should be turning good again beginning of next week. And it looks like, yeah, maybe there'll be some snow up in Eagle Crest for the weekend. That sounds good. Right now, let's listen to National Native News.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome back to a very Bowie Juno afternoon. Andy Klein with you. In the studio with me right now, science teacher John Smith with a couple of students, Aaron Gaffney and Samantha Heidersdorf, are both here with us as well. Thanks, you guys, for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, and John, tell us, we got science fair coming up. Tell me about, for people who've never attended or maybe haven't had kids in the school system, have been part of science fair, just tell me what it is.
Well, one of the reasons that we're here today is just to get people who would never think about coming to a science fair to come to the science fair, because it's amazing, the things you'll see and the variety, and it's just a great time. You know, it's one of those things in Juneau that that a lot of people don't know that happens, and when they go, they're like, wow, I'm amazed at how interesting that all was. And you know, if you don't like one project, the next one might float your boat.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten to go a couple of times, especially when my kid was in school and was doing the science project stuff and all that. But you're right, you know, just listening to you guys just talk right before we got on the mic, you were talking about like what you did last year and, well, what was the question? Well, how did you get into that? And it's like, oh, well, okay, here you go. Young minds expanding as we're watching.
Oh yeah, they're filling the room.
You can see their young minds just blow up inside their skulls. It's incredible. Well, what do you guys, have you done at Science Fair before?
I have not. This is my first year.
Okay, but Aaron, you've not only done it before, you actually went to the International Science Fair before. Did you actually win?
No.
Or what? Or you won? Did you win like a regional? Or how did that? Tell me about your experience last year with Science Fair.
So last year we won the regional fair and then went to the international fair, which was an amazing experience.
Where was that?
It was in Pittsburgh last year.
Okay. An international city, of course.
Yeah.
You had to pick the year it was in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, you know? Crossroad of the world's there, yeah.
The year before it was Singapore, but this year it was Singapore. Oh, darn, no. Okay, but anyway, what an honor. Congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. So what was you guys were kind of speaking the language, because you were saying, well, I would have just said, what was it about? But you, Samantha, knew to ask, what was the question?
Yeah.
About last year, because that's how you form these things. You kind of develop a thesis or a...
It's a purpose question. What is the point behind doing the science? Yeah.
Okay. So what was it last year for you?
So last year we were exploring how temperature affected circulating concentrations of both trehalose and glucose in the hemolymph of crabs.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool, and relates directly to things happening here in Southeast, right? You had these crabs. Was it about Dungeness crabs especially, or
we used Tanner crabs last year and snow crabs as well.
Very cool. Okay, so we'll ask you about this year here in just a minute. But Samantha, let's turn to you. What are you doing your science project on this year, on your first year of doing it?
Well, this year I chose to do my project on human pheromones, which are like the odorless chemical.
Those things they're supposed to attract, and they're supposed to have all these subconscious effects on us that we don't know about.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So tell me about that. How did you set up the experiment? What question were you trying to answer?
So my main question was how does human pheromones affect attraction rating of strangers? And we like extracted the pheromone out of pads worn by subjects, and then
pheromones.
Pheromones.
There's a difference.
Yes.
It's a subtle difference, but there's a difference.
But is the pheromones in the sweat?
Yeah, they're normally found in like your sweat glands and under your armpits. So we had subjects wear pads under their arms while they slept, and then we extracted them.
Sure, okay, that's science. Fine, it's gross, but it's science.
Okay. Yeah, and then we lied them to masks, and the subjects wore the masks and rated sets of pictures on like...
So they had to wear, you put this thing like in a surgical, one of those like surgical mask mm-hmm. things, and then they put that on, and then they were smelling this odor,
mm-hmm.
and then that affected how they reacted to different pictures they were shown?
Yeah.
Oh. What did you find?
Well, we found that the females reacted most to the male pheromone, and then the female pheromone, and then the control pheromone for looking at questions on like the genetics and questions on like emotional fitness and how they would react with a mate. But
so it works.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know. It's
those
really
people
interesting.
At Axe don't know what they're talking about. Don't cover up.
Nope.
No. Yeah. Go for it. Okay. And then did the same thing happen with men? Or how did that work? Or did you test that as well? Or
yeah, we looked at men, but men were a lot harder because we had a big group of guys come in at once and they influenced each other's results because they talked and...
But that's another really interesting part about what Science Fair is all about, is how to conduct these experiments in ways that keeps them, mm-hmm. Keeps them fair, keeps them impartial, and all those things.
A huge part of the process for students is that learning curve, that it's not as easy as it looks, and that sometimes you learn more from your errors than you do from your what you might consider to be your successes.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and those errors, you know, so much of what we've discovered throughout history have come from those little, why did that happen like that?
I wasn't expecting
that.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting that. And then where can that lead you to? And, you know, so, you know, her noticing that the boys were just, you know, gabbing and influencing each other's results, where you would think maybe the girls would be more like that. You know, that's something to notice. And then that's the kind of fodder for next year's project.
Maybe that was an effect of the pheromone.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, the guys
makes
all
boys gabby.
On
Okay. So, Aaron, we talked about last year's project, but what did you do this year?
So this year we did a continuation project, and instead of just looking at the concentrations of blood sugars, we looked at the expression of the gene that converts between the two different types of blood sugars that crabs have.
Wow, you're so above me right now. So there's a gene. So tell me about explain that to me. There's a gene that affects what again?
So in the crabs, they have these two types of blood sugars. So we have glucose, and they have glucose and trulose. And there's in their DNA, they have a gene that allows them to convert between glucose and trulose.
Depending on like environmental conditions
exactly.
or temperature or pressure, things
right.
like that? Okay.
And so it's not known what is the what controls how they convert the blood sugar. And so that's what we were testing.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Now, are you interested in marine biology? It would seem like you must be. Is that,
mm-hmm.
that what you're...
Yeah. And the very cool part about our project, too, is that it has a lot of chemistry involved, which is really interesting.
Yeah. Why? So now, so what did you find? Did you get some conclusive findings out of what you were doing that kind of discovered how crabs operate a little bit?
Unfortunately, no. But it was kind of like what Mr. Smith was saying before. By not finding any results, what we figured out is that the gene, since the split between lyre crabs and blue crabs, has mutated, which is really interesting because generally genes involved in metabolism don't mutate very rapidly.
Wow. So that's a discovery. Mm-hmm. The fact that it wasn't discoverable in a way, it was the discovery itself.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, totally fascinating. Well, John, I mean, these are two great examples mm-hmm. of of terrific experiments and terrific projects in science fair. Do you, through the years, other highlights that stick out in your mind? You know, just I'm not saying that this is a conclusive list or anything, but just maybe two or three that you think of, like, wow, that, there was this one where they did this, or
I think one that'll always stick out in my mind. I think some of the ones that stick out in my mind are ones that I had influence on. You know,
sure,
people
yeah.
are like that.
And, yeah, yes.
And one of the ones that I really enjoyed, and it was a student that it did end up winning and going on to the international fair. I talk a lot about with the students about lichen. We have a lot of lichen in Southeast Alaska. A lot of people are familiar with the old man's beard that hangs off of the trees here. And one thing that a lot of people don't know is that they can be used as indicators of pollution because they filter the air for their nutrient matter. And I was talking about this one day in class and talking about the reindeer lichen up on the north coast that had concentrated radioactive isotopes after Chernobyl.
Right, right.
Blue. And pretty savvy student was sitting in class and she started thinking about it. She was already into mycology and she what she did is she sampled the lichens on the trees going out Gastineau Channel, trying to show a correlation between the pollutants coming from the cruise ships and the reindeer lichen, the old man's beard.
Yeah.
And it was a really well done test, and she was looking specifically at lead and arsenic, and it was very conclusive. And the other thing that really, you know, strikes me about that project, not only was it beautifully done, not only was it beautifully presented, but the girl right now, woman right now, is in New Zealand working for a mining company. She has her PhD, and her specialty is lead and arsenic.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lead
and
all
so,
from there. Just such a...
You know, so those are the ones that really stick with me.
Sure.
I think the science fair really has had a great deal of influence on a lot of students. And
it's legendary
kind of
among students.
Oh, you know, and...
You know,
and,
it is, right? I mean, right? I mean, as you kind of go through, for in JDHS students, I know my kid was one a few years ago, and I know the science fair was this looming thing, and also Mr. Smith's class was a looming thing always. But the science fair in general was a looming thing of like anticipation, but challenge, and it's going to be a lot of work, but it's going to be awesome. You know, like all those things mm-hmm. that can be great about learning, can be great about school. Yeah, totally. So tell us just some of the details.
Yeah,
when's it happening? And
so
how can people...
for the public, I mean, we have two classic really good examples here of some things that might be piqued people's interest. But keep in mind, this year we've added some more engineering projects ever before. We're reaching into every aspect of life. And if you've got, you know, if you're interested in anything, there's something for you to see at the fair. And we have an open house tomorrow from about 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 8:30 tomorrow night. Stop by. It's a great time to just chat with students in a real low-key atmosphere. They can use the practice by talking about their projects and whatnot. And it's also not very crowded tomorrow night. It's an open house. Most people don't come on Friday night, but it's a great time for the public to come in and just look around.
Cool.
On Saturday, the room is closed. It's judging only until noon. And so the open house is only from noon to 1:30. That open house, we want to see you there. It is very crowded. All the students are there. They're all coming down off of their judging period. They will have looked like they've been through the ringer. But they'll also be very relieved and happy at that time. But it is a little bit crowded. But 12 to 1:30 tomorrow, again, and on Saturday and tomorrow from about 4 o'clock to 8:30.
Yeah, sounds great. So,
and that's at the Murray Drake Gym. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that.
Aaron, maybe you can share with Samantha, what's it like? What's the judging? How does that? What do you have to do? What's it? It must be intense, right?
It is, and I think the first period of judging, because it goes through, you have a couple different sections of
sure.
it. The first section is incredibly stressful and kind of scary, but then once you get going, the judges are really interested and they love to be there, and so it's a really good experience.
Yeah. And do you have teams that you work with? Is that how it works, or do you have just one person, or does it?
It depends.
Yeah.
I'm working with a partner this year,
okay.
But many people do their projects their first year on their own.
And you've rehearsed like back and forth and all that stuff. Are you working with a partner too, or are you just on your own?
No, this year I am on my own.
Okay, so you feel pretty well practiced, or you still got a lot, you're still high energy, still good doing it, still practicing?
I'm definitely still practicing. Yeah, it takes a lot of work to
sure.
know what to say, I guess, in front of people, and It's going to be a lot of practice tonight and tomorrow.
Very good.
We've been, the posters, the visual display, which everybody thinks of as the science fair thing, you know, that visual display, which is just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. That was due on Monday for my students, and we've been practicing since then with the posters. And they, you know, they listen to each other and give each other feedback. And they'll be doing that again tomorrow. And again, anybody from the public that can come in tomorrow and give them a hand just listening, you know, you'll learn a lot and you'll have some fun. And they will get a lot out of it because they'll have the chance to practice. It'll
All
be
right.
Great.
The Science Fair, once again, tomorrow around 4 o'clock. You can go a little bit more relaxed atmosphere tomorrow, a little less crowded tomorrow. Great time to go check out everything
time,
that the students have done. And then again on Saturday at 1 o'clock on Saturday, is that right?
From 12 to 1:30.
12 to 1:30.
12 to 1:30, yeah. And it's a small window because most of the morning is spent with the judging. And then there's an award ceremony on Saturday night out at UAS. And then you'll see in the newspaper, probably we'll release to KTO here.
Sure.
The winners on
Matt
Monday.
Matt Miller loves covering that story.
Oh, absolutely.
Story. Yeah.
So the winners will be announced, and those people will be going on to California this year.
There you go. Better than Pittsburgh.
She doesn't have her ticket yet, but she's hoping.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Aaron and Samantha. Thanks so much for coming
in.
And Mr. Smith, thanks so much for coming in. And for all you've done for kids at learning science in Juneau, thanks so much through all the years.
I'd just like to say one more thing. Just thank you to all of the mentors in this community who have made this whole thing possible for the years that I've been doing this. And thank you for the judges that are going to show up and give these guys a run for their money.
Yeah. Good luck, you guys.
Thank you.
Once again, forecast for today, rest of today, sunny. Yeah. Increasing clouds, though, tonight, with mostly cloudy skies happening tomorrow. A chance of rain Friday afternoon. Highs around 40 degrees. For tomorrow night, rain with snow likely and lows around 33 degrees. Southeast winds to 10 miles an hour. And rain is in the forecast for Saturday and Saturday night, but then on Sunday, cloudy skies with only a chance of rain showers. Highs around 38 degrees on Sunday. Sunday night and Monday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and snow showers with lows around 30 and highs right around 39 degrees. We're going to listen to Garrison Keillor and Writer's Almanac in just a moment.
How do you tell the truth in difficult times? How did Macbeth get written? For an answer to these and many other mysteries, Theater in the Rough recommends you take 36 barrels of gunpowder, some adult language, two religions, and our favorite playwright, and come see Bill Kane's Equivocation, based on a lie about a true story. Opens this Friday at 7:30 in McPheeters Hall and runs weekends through March 24th. Preview this Thursday at 7:30. For tickets and showtimes, go to any Vindini outlet or visit theaterintherough.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 7th of March, 2013. It's the birthday of the songwriter Townes Van Zandt, born 1944, into a wealthy oil family in Texas, died in 1997 at the age of 53. It's the birthday of the novelist Robert Harris, Nottingham, England, 1957, author of Fatherland, Archangel, and other novels, who said, "I think a novel is like a car. And if you buy a car and grow flowers in it, you're forgetting that the car is designed to take you somewhere else. 1994, on this day, the Supreme Court ruled that parody can be protected by the Fair Use Clause of the Copyright Act of 1976. 1857, on this day, the National Association of Baseball Players met in New York, and they decided that a baseball game should be made up of 9 innings instead of 21 runs. It's the anniversary of the Civil Rights March from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, 1965. 600 civil rights activists left Selma to march 54 miles to the state capitol. They only got 6 blocks before state and local lawmen attacked them with dogs and billy clubs and tear gas. They made it to Montgomery 2 weeks later, and by the time they got there, they were 25,000 strong. And it's the birthday of Bret Easton Ellis, born in Los Angeles, 1964, best known for his novel American Psycho, 1991, written from the perspective of a Wall Street yuppie serial killer, a novel that was condemned by the National Organization of Women and dropped by its first publisher, which guaranteed its commercial success. Here's a poem for today by Faith Sheeran, entitled Turtle in the Road. It was the spring before we moved again, a list of what we must do on the refrigerator when my daughter and I found a turtle in the road. He was not gentle or shy, not properly afraid of the cars that swerved around his mistake. I thought I might encourage him towards safety with a stick, but each time I touched his tail, he turned fiercely to show me what he thought of my prodding. He had a raisin head, the legs of a fat dwarf, the tail of a dinosaur. His shell was a deep green secret he had kept his whole life. I could not tell how old he was, but his claws suggested years of reaching. I was afraid to pick him up, afraid of the way he snapped his jaws, but I wanted to help him return to the woods, which watched him with an ancient detachment. I felt I understood him, because I didn't want to move either. I was tired of going from one place to another, the introductions, the goodbyes. I was sick of getting ready, of unpacking, of mail sent to places where I used to live. At last, I put my stick away and left him to decide which direction was best. If I forced him off the road, he might return later. My daughter and I stood a while, considering him. He was a traveler from the time of reptiles, a creature who wore his house like a jacket. I don't know if he survived his afternoon on the road. I'm still thinking of the way his eyes watched me go. I can't forget his terrible legs, so determined to take him somewhere, his tail, which pointed behind him at the dark spaces between the trees. Turtle in the Road, a poem by Faith Sheeran from Moving the Piano, published by Stephen F. Austin State University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Kathy Roach and Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Tonight on 360 North, it's Rain Country Reflections at 8, followed at 8:30 by the Alaska Film Archives television series, where we learn about ourselves through documentaries from our past. Then at 9, join Ann Sechrist and her guest on AARP Alaska. The Aviators begins at 9:30, and the day's legislative coverage continues with Business from the Capitol on Gavel, Alaska at 10. That's all tonight on 360 North and 360north.org. Follow 360 North on Facebook and Twitter.
And welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. Well, the home show is this weekend, and Valerie Williams is with me right now. Valerie, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
I know you're busy, busy, busy.
Yeah,
setting up.
It's kind of crazy down there right now.
You guys say you've been in there since early this morning already.
I have been.
Transforming
yep.
Centennial Hall,
we
right?
We are. It's going, it's crazy. Some people are really changing their booths this year, so it's
so without
it's
giving
great.
Anything away, what are some booths that maybe people should watch for that are going to be like, wow, check out what's going on this year?
Well, in the lobby this year, right over by the offices for Centennial Hall, there is this cool display being built.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. It's
okay.
Like, it's the first time since I've worked with the home show that we've had something built like this in the lobby. So it's kind of cool.
Very cool. That's great. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And how many different people do you have displaying doing booths and all that stuff?
I would say I have at least 66 vendors,
It's such a huge show. It just seems to be growing every year.
Yeah. And this year, it's just amazing how it's happened. It's just, I feel excited. I mean, I'm always excited because, you know, you can't help but be excited.
Right.
It's just neat to see the different stuff and how the vendors are really putting effort in to do something different.
Yeah, very cool. So let's go over some of the different cool things that are happening with the home show this year. First thing, we'll just maybe go chronologically here. So there's a wine tasting that kind of kicks it all off on Friday night, starts at 5 o'clock, right?
Yep, Friday night we have the wine tasting, and you can still buy tickets in advance for it. And we have food, awesome food from Abby's Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Always good.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Abby.
Oh, man.
So, and she actually called me the other day to go over the menu, and she says, I think we need to change an item. So that's one thing that's great about them. You know, they're always...
Always thinking,
yes,
always trying to
make it better.
They
are.
Yep.
So, and and then we have the different wines. We have white, red. We have a little bit more beer this year.
Okay.
So,
very
and
good.
That's kind of exciting. And we kind of try to place it a little bit throughout the show. You know, so it's not just all in one spot.
Right.
So,
people can kind of wander around make sure they see all the booths and then go have a drink here or have a drink over there, that kind of thing.
Taste it here, taste it there, go get some food. And,
nice.
And then, you know, check everybody out. And it's a little bit more dim lit. You know, it's not real bright like it will be on Saturday and Sunday. So
just a little swankier.
Yes,
A little exclusive.
Exactly.
Okay, very VIP only.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you can buy a ticket and be VIP.
Yes, you can. Exactly.
It's your ticket into the exclusive club.
Exactly. And then the ticket's good all weekend also.
Okay,
so.
Very cool. Yeah. All right, so that's starting Friday night, goes from about 5 till about 8 o'clock.
Yes, that's correct.
And then I have a note here that says Contractor's Garage Sale, and that's a benefit for Habitat for Humanity. So tell me about what that is.
Yeah, well, it's actually to help the kids travel to Florida to help build homes for Habitat for Humanity.
Okay,
and I
cool.
think there's about 13 of them going this year. And there's a teacher, Andy Bullock, at the high school that takes these kids every year. And he also works with a house build. They're working on a house this year. And it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm excited for him. I really wanted to go myself this year, but didn't happen. But it's kind of neat. They're also doing a raffle to help fundraise money to go down. And we're hoping that we get enough donations to do like a contractor's garage sale so people can come in if they want to buy a window. They can buy a window or a door.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So we have hopefully get a little bit of donations from our builders and stuff like that because there's always people that want to do some do-it-yourself projects and stuff.
Maybe have a little inventory they can have be part of the garage sale. So what time is that?
That is actually Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 11 to 4.
Oh, so that's throughout the whole course of the home show,
which has
the same hour. So the home show itself starts 10 o'clock on Saturday, goes to 5 o'clock on Saturday, and then starts at 11 on Sunday and goes to 4 o'clock.
That's correct.
And then you've got a big part of what happens at the home show every year. There's all the great booths and all the great fun, cool things to think about, like, oh, I could do this. Oh, look at that kitchen. All that great stuff. But then there's also these really valuable workshops that people go to.
Seminars, yeah.
So tell me about a few of those that are happening.
Well, I think probably one of our most popular ones is we get a panel of people that do no regrets remodeling. So you get a couple contractors. We changed it up a little bit. We have two contractors this year. We also have a kind of like an expert. We have Markham George coming in from the university.
Okay.
So if you have any technical issues about mold or something like that, he could be there to... answer your questions. And then we have a lender. So we have Tom Sullivan from Alaska Pacific Bank.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions about financing, we have all those kind of areas covered, which is it seems to be such a popular one every year, so we try to keep it going.
Well, no matter what's happening in the financial market, there's things to know about financing.
Oh, totally.
Whether it's up or down or interest rates are high or low. It's all, you know, you want to know what's the best move.
Something different, totally off seminars. We actually have a vendor in there. We have a tax accountant guy, or accountant or whatever you want to call him, that will be there to answer questions. He actually has a table.
Oh, cool.
So if you sell a home or buy a home and you want to know what's going to happen with your taxes, they'll be there to answer questions.
Or refinancing or all those kinds of questions. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's something we've never had before, so it's kind of neat to see how it goes.
It's such a big part of home ownership, though. You know,
exactly.
That whole financial piece is this huge element to what it means and even why people own homes and all that stuff.
Yeah, it is.
So that's really cool. So tell me about just some of the other cool workshops as well that are going on.
So on Saturday, we also have a Be Energy Smart, which Alaska Housing is putting on with Jimmy Ord. And then we have Alaska Craftsman Home Program is recognizing the value of energy-efficient homes. So that's a good one on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have Holly Cern and Robin Long that are doing Tired of Renting, home ownership and how to get there. So that's kind of, you know, that's going to be kind of interesting to see, because I know there's a lot of people that would like to get in homes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one. And then Robin, Alaska Craftsman Home Program, is going to be repeating the recognizing the value of your energy-efficient home again on Sunday. And then Alaska Housing is doing another seminar on Sunday with an overview of what they're doing, the programs coming up and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, yeah.
So of the people that have the booths and have all the stuff, how many are those purely just Juneau vendors, or are there lots of people from outside of Juneau coming in too?
We have some people, we have Cold Climate Housing Research Center out of Fairbanks comes down, and they're really the technical side of building. They're a great group of people that come in. They do a lot of studies throughout the whole state of Alaska. So they're actually, they work a lot with Markham George at the university with the technology, with the mold. They do a lot of testing and stuff like that to help build better homes.
Because mm-hmm. the whole idea of if you think, well, what we want to do is seal up this house good and tight.
Yes.
So it doesn't, so it's real energy efficient. But
not too tight.
But then just, if it's too tight,
yes.
you get the mold issue.
Yeah.
So yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah,
right?
So
yeah.
We have them. And then we have a gentleman out of Seattle that's coming up. He's into the lumber supply business, and we do have some different people. I think I have about 8 vendors from out of town.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they all come in. I have a gal coming in out of Haines that does doorknobs. You know,
cool.
for like your cupboards and stuff like that. So that
just
kinda
does
cool.
them kind of in a craft way or something like that. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And then we just have all sorts of cool vendors this year, different vendors and you know, some of the same ones too. So and we have a title company coming in this year that's going to be there. So if you have any questions about, you know, when you buy a home and you're closing end of it, they'll be there to answer questions.
That title, that seems like a mystery part of it, right?
Right.
Like it's sort of all behind the scenes and who are those people and what's going on? And
so come meet them.
Right, so come meet those shadowy figures at the title.
Exactly, they'll be there.
And give me an idea about some of the really big big displays and stuff. How many people do those guys have working on their displays? I mean, they're just like...
Oh, wow. Let me see. I have one right now, let me think. I'd say there's probably about 6 of them working on one booth right now. And then there's some of them, it's amazing what one person will do.
Right, yeah.
And then I had another one that had probably like 4 people. And, you know, there's so many different numbers of people. But there's definitely a couple booths in there that are just...
Really going for it.
Yeah.
Do they go up multiple stories sometimes even?
They'll
go up one or two?
No,
okay.
I would love to see somebody do that here. Because I got back from the International Builder Show in Vegas in January, and they do that.
They
you know?
Just build a house inside those convention centers, essentially. Yeah.
They
just...
And they do 2-story booths. And,
right.
But, you know, they're huge. You know, they're huge. So, I mean, some of the displays are as big as Centennial Hall.
Yeah.
So, but no, nobody's gone that far. But, you know, there is somebody that has built like a... Oh, it's not a roof over the top of their booth, but it's up there pretty high.
Yeah.
So,
and are there do a lot of them have kind of hands-on demonstrations and things like that going on while they're during the show?
Well, you know, I don't know yet.
Okay.
I don't know yet. It'd be interesting to see because, you know, it all happens so much tonight and in the morning.
That's true. So you don't, yeah, you know who they are, but you don't see, you
don't
haven't seen what they're going to build
yet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, it's always, this is the thing that is always so fun and exciting. It's always a kind of a wow moment when you walk in during the home show and you see all what all these people have done to transform their little booth space into something, you know, like incredible.
Yeah, and this year we have some really great booths. We really are going to, so I think it's cool, so.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, so the wine tasting is happening Friday night. That starts at 5 o'clock, goes to about 8 o'clock. A little bit more down key, a little bit of music maybe and that
music.
Sort of thing. Yep. And some wine and some delicious hors d'oeuvres around from Abby's Kitchen. So that's a really fun thing to go to Centennial Hall to the Friday wine tasting for the home show. And then the actual home show itself all starts Saturday, 10 o'clock, goes till 5 o'clock on Saturday. Sunday, 11 o'clock, goes to 4 o'clock on Sunday.
That's correct, yeah.
And that's the same time that while that's going on, check out the contractor's garage sale that's happening, and that's funding a bunch of Juno kids to go help out with Habitat for Humanity
that's
in
correct,
Florida,
yeah.
which is a really cool thing.
It is. It's really cool. And well, you know, and it's great for the kids to have the experience to do hands-on stuff like that, and they're helping people.
Right.
And what better than to help people,
no,
I think.
Absolutely. And then do people have to sign up for workshops if they're interested in workshops?
Nope, just show up. We have a seminar room. Right as you walk into the front door, entrance A, I can't remember the name of it. If it's Hammond, I think it's Hammond. I'm not sure, but we have
signs. One of the governors, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, one of the governors.
All right.
We usually have signs that say what the seminars are coming up, and we have people up front there that can point you in the right direction.
Okay,
so.
Great. And then should people buy tickets ahead of time? Can they get tickets at the door? How does the ticketing work?
Well, the wine tasting, they should. Saturday and Sunday, you don't have to. You can buy advance tickets, which saves you some money if you call me at 463-5774. So if you want to. Or you can come down to Centennial Hall and hopefully you can find me.
Yeah, right.
I'm not there right now.
So. And then for the wine tasting, is there a place other than just call
nope,
you
just
for the
me,
tickets?
Just me.
What's that number one more time?
463-5774. And leave a message.
Okay, yes. Leave a message. And that's for the wine tasting especially happening Friday night and then for the whole home show. Valerie Williams, thanks so much
for
coming
for
in. Have
me.
A great home show. I know
Thank you.
Thanks so much for taking a couple of minutes out of your one of the busiest days of the year for you here, I'm sure.
It is.
To come down and talk to us about it and have a great home show.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Come baby.
There's my fever lost, that's all.
Opening doors and pulling some strings.
Angel,
come baby. In walk luck and you looked in time. Never look back, walk tall, act fine.
Well, it's beautiful out. It feels like spring. It's warming up. But let's not forget, one of the great treasures of this community is King Island Christmas, the wonderful play that's put on every year in the holidays. And there's a spaghetti feed and middle school dance coming up all about King Island Christmas. Mike Barnhill's here right now. Tell me, Mike, a little bit about this. Is this to kind of benefit that show? What's the deal?
Hi,
what's the
Andy.
Dealio?
Good afternoon. So, yeah, the deal is that show that is performed at the Jack and Aldersgate Church in the holiday season, Those people, about 40 of them, are going to Edinburgh, Scotland this August. And to get there, they have to do...
In the Fringe Festival? Is that what...
The Fringe Festival, right. You've heard of it.
Yes.
And so to get there requires a fairly intensive amount of fundraising. So we're giving the town of Juneau the opportunity to join us in this effort. We've got two events this weekend. The first one is a middle school dance at The Hub, which I'd never heard of before 3 days ago.
Okay.
But The Hub is it's a youth center. It's across from Fred Meyer's. And the middle school dance, there's going to be DJing by K-Magic. There's going to be a ton of adult chaperones, many of them from the Johnson Youth Center. So parents, if you're concerned about your
kids' safety
or appropriate conduct, there's going to be adults all over the place. The cost to get in is $10, but it's a St. Paddy's Day dance. So if you come wearing something that resembles green, you get in for only $8 and $2 to buy snacks.
Nice. All right.
It'll be a great evening. It starts at 6 o'clock at The Hub, goes till 9 p.m. It'll be a closed event, so once the kids come in, they can't get out until the parents come and...
Oh, they're trapped.
We're not going to have kids wandering all over and crossing the streets of Fred Meyer's and all that. It's going to be a controlled and safe and very, very fun event. And of course, we hope to raise lots of money to help our King Islanders go to Edinburgh, Scotland.
Is there an overall goal for the Edinburgh, Scotland trip that the kids are trying to reach? Do you know?
Well, it's not just the kids. So are a bunch of kids in the show, but it's also adults. And yes, the overall goal, the fundraising goal is it's over $100,000.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of people and it's a long way to go.
It's a bit of a plane ride.
There's been a lot of different things been going on towards that goal. Do you know how far they are towards the goal?
We've got some more to go.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not quite halfway there.
Okay.
But we're on the path.
Right.
Definitely on the path.
Great.
And we've got other events going on. We'll be selling raffle tickets soon. Everybody's got to do a raffle. And
Absolutely. Everybody,
buy your raffle tickets. Buy two when they come out. And we'll have a dinner, a fancy dinner, maybe two fancy dinners.
Nice,
and
sure.
So I'll be back and I'll be back every week from now until August.
But the upcoming one is a spaghetti feed and middle school dance. It's happening at The Hub, which is right over there by Fred Meyer. Give me the times and date and all that stuff one more time.
Okay, so the dance is on Friday at 6 p.m. at The Hub. The spaghetti feed is on Saturday. And that's at Northern Light United Church downtown.
Let me correct that then.
Two different things. Right.
The Friday event is at The Hub. That's a fun middle school dance. $10 to get in.
Just middle schoolers. In ninth grade, you're out of luck.
Yeah. So just middle schoolers.
Just middle schoolers.
Fully chaperoned. Fun thing to do. K-Magic's going to be there spinning the disc. It's going to be a really cool thing.
It's going to be really cool. Yeah. The kids will just, kids at this age,
fun.
They don't dance that much. They just run around and talk to their friends.
Right. And then there's a spaghetti feed happening
at Northern
Light
feed.
Church.
That's on Saturday at Northern Light Church downtown. Starts at 4:30, goes to 6. Come in and get a delicious plate of spaghetti. It's pay as you can. So if you can only afford $2 for a plate of spaghetti, pay $2. If you can afford $50 for a plate of spaghetti, by all means.
Wow, yes.
We don't want to stop you.
That is a good plate of spaghetti.
No, most people usually pay around $5 or $10.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And there'll be a silent auction for desserts. And then if you have the time, stick around. At 7 p.m. is an Alaska Youth Choir concert. That's their spring concert. There's been posters up around town, and they just do a fantastic job. Missouri Smythe is the artistic director of the Alaska Youth Choir. She's also helping to lead the charge for the King Island Christmas folks to go to Edinburgh, Scotland, along with Deborah Smith and Sharon Gateman. We've got close to 40-some people that are going to that. It's going to be fantastic.
That sounds fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Well, Mike Barnhill, thanks so much for coming in. Once again,
it's
all benefiting the King Island Christmas cast and others and chaperones and everyone going over to Edinburgh, Scotland to the Fringe Festival. So it's Friday at The Hub, a middle school dance, super fun, K-Magic spinning the discs, fully chaperoned, totally safe, totally fun. And then a spaghetti feed happening at Northern Lights Church. One more time on the time and date on that.
Saturday, March 9th, 4:30 to 6 p.m.
All right. Spaghetti feed. Happening at Northern Lights Church. Mike, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Andy.
Good luck with these fundraising events. We'll talk to you at the next one. And if you're listening right now, you can go get that spaghetti feed or, of course, if you're a middle schooler, you should go dance. Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. Nancy DeCherney from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council with us now for Arts Up. Nancy.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a gorgeous day.
Yeah.
Gorgeous out.
Colder than you'd think.
Yes. I noticed that too.
Yes. Darn it. I wanted to be out there.
Yeah.
But anyway, here we are. And of course, there's lots of things. Before I forget,
I want to say
the Poetry Omnibus submissions are due, and I finally got the website fixed, so you can submit your poetry for the Omnibus competition online.
Okay.
Now, those are due coming shortly. And also the gallery applications for next year in the Juno Arts and Humanities Council Gallery, both the juried applications and the gallery applications are up. So finally.
Nice. Okay.
Got it. Ready.
That's so cool for artists to get an opportunity to have a gallery space like that is really, really great.
Those are due April 15th, okay. Just like your taxes.
Yes.
Okay.
A little more fun.
Okay. It looks like there's a whole bunch of things going on at the Marie Drake Planetarium. Have you had those folks in?
I haven't.
Okay. Well, they got some stuff going on this weekend. At 5 p.m. tonight, astronomy for elementary school children. This is at the planetarium itself. But as we go through the weekend here, I'll talk to you more about stuff. Equivocation opens.
Yes.
You've been talking about that?
I have just a little bit. Equivocation, it's a factual story about a lie.
Yes.
That's what I've heard.
Many things are like that, are they not?
Yes. And it's an imagining of how Macbeth came to be.
Well, cool.
Yes.
All right. So that's Theater in the Rough. And yes. It's a free preview tonight. And that's at the McFeeters Hall on 4th and Gold. So you can go to the door and get in all weekend. And through the 17th, I believe it's Mardi Gras over in Sitka.
Oh.
Just in case you're tired of being here, yeah. You can go over there.
I can't imagine, but sure.
They have lots of stuff going on. Check it out. At 3 o'clock, let's see, we have many little things. You were talking about the hub thing going on, right? We have science fair going on.
Talked about that today, too.
Okay.
Yes.
There's the home show.
You just talked about that as well.
Gee whiz, why did I come over? I could still be over there working. So there's a wine tasting at 5. We always like to be up on that.
Tomorrow,
yes. The Fireside, we're on Friday. The Fireside Chat this week is with From Icefield to Ocean, Impacts of Glacial Change in Alaska. That's at 6:30 and 8 p.m. out at the Mendenhall Visitor Center. That's free. Juno World Affairs Council is doing a whole. Have you been on
China?
That?
I haven't talked about it. I've heard the public service announcements here on K2,
okay.
But yeah.
Survey of Modern Chinese History from 1911. This is going on at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall. It's free. Starts at 7. The World at Night, the Marie Drake Planetarium at 7 p.m. This is actually has a charge. If you're 18 and under, it's free. The Juno Cinema Book Club.
How much does it cost to get in there?
$5.
$5. That's nothing.
Nothing for a planetarium.
Come on, help the planetarium.
Yeah, so they have a whole bunch of stuff going on this weekend. I was really happy to see that they have made themselves a little organization and they're really using the
Very
Marie Drake
cool.
Planetarium.
Yeah.
The Juno Cinema Book Club is they're going to see Oz, the Great and Powerful at Glacier Cinemas, and then the next day they will discuss the book. I think this is
that's
great.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So they're going to discuss that prequel book. by Frank Baum, right? Is that right?
I not think they discuss see the movie.
See the movie.
And then they're going to go
discuss, not Wizard of Oz, but discuss this prequel to Wizard of Oz.
I think they're reading the real book.
Oh, they're reading
I'm
Wizard of Oz.
Don't quote me on this,
because I thought it was a Frank Baum
Maybe
book made into a movie, but it's the book that's before Wizard of Oz or something. I don't know.
We should just go.
I might be thinking of The Hobbit. I'm not sure.
Who knows?
I'm sorry.
But I think it's a really neat idea to read the book and see the movie and see the differences and all that sort of stuff.
It's a great idea.
So that's
I did that with
Zombieland.
It was very cool. Yeah, no, I didn't.
Okay. Didn't. Silent auction and dessert auction fundraiser for Jerry Jones with live music by the Devil's Club is at Rockwell. That's at 7 p.m. on Friday. There is seminar opening.
I know this. I'm the sound designer on seminar.
Who knew?
I'm telling everyone right now. So it has great music.
Of course.
And the rest is. No, it's fantastic. I've gotten to see a bunch of the rehearsals, of course, because I've been doing it. And really, it's such a funny, fun.
We need funny after that. Yeah, we need funny.
Very cool and well-written, smart play. It's really cool.
It's new.
It's brand new. It's only been on Broadway for a year. And has been a huge comedy hit on Broadway for the past year, and now it's here in Juneau.
You know, that's one of the things about living in Juneau, Alaska, is we get some stuff.
It's amazing. some stuff. Perseverance? Are you kidding me? They're amazing.
Yeah, and I was just having a conversation with a lady that said she used to live in Anchorage. She moved to Washington, D.C. She lived in Arizona, but here is where she's going to live.
Yeah,
because she said, you get to see, this is the better place.
The stuff. You get the
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so you got seminar, you got equivocation, you got, let's see, at 9 p.m., Devil's Club is at the Rendezvous. On Saturday, there's a community health fair out at Nugget Mall. That's a good idea.
It's also got a youth focus to it this year. Did you see that? So they have the regular health fair that you kind of used to, go get your blood drawn, all that stuff. But it's also got a big youth component. They're going to have 6 booths set up that are dealing with little young children, I think up to like something like up to 10 years old kids that the National Honor Society kids from JDHS are going to be manning those booths.
Wonderful.
They tell kids like how to eat right and what happens when you eat bad food and what happens when you eat good, all that kind of just different kinds of stuff like that that's focused on things that'll be fun for kids. So if you've got little kids and want to go to the health fair, this is great.
This is a great activity
for them.
And it's supposed
to
rain on Sunday, so go do that.
Go do it.
Okay, very good. All right, let's
see. That's Saturday, I think.
That's Saturday.
Isn't it Saturday, right? It's supposed to rain Saturday, but it's not going to rain Sunday because Sunday's a high gravity game, so we'll talk about that.
Okay, we'll get there. We're not there yet. Also, there is a Rainforest Yoga Workshop is going on at Aldersgate Church all day Saturday with Lynn Minton. Let's see. There is the Juneau World Affairs Forum continues on Saturday with China and the 21st Century. That's out at Egan Lecture Hall. And from 10 to 4.
You mean they're still talking?
They have, yes.
Or you mean it starts on Saturday?
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Okay, very cool.
We have a lot of things going on this weekend. The Marie Drake Planetarium, as I mentioned, has brought in this photographer who Night Sky Photography Workshop. This is going to be out at Shepherd of the Valley Church. It's $89 for this workshop. It goes on all day Saturday to talk about how to film things at night.
Wow, that's really cool.
We have some night stuff here.
We do.
That's
the other stuff we have, yes.
When there's no clouds.
No.
So we have the home show continues on Saturday, noon. The science fair is open at the Marie Drake Film. From 1 to 8 p.m., there's a forum on the Admiralty Island brown bear. This is at DIPAC. There is a Norwegian cultural fair at the Yacht Club.
All right.
I
love those.
See? And then at 4:30.
Because I love pancakes.
Swedish pancakes.
Yes.
But Norwegian pancakes.
Don't they have like Norwegian?
I don't know.
I think pancakes. I don't know.
They do dancing.
They do dance.
Yes. And it's lots of fun.
Yes.
Second annual Bunko for Breast Cancer. This is at Tlingit Haida at 4:30. You were just talking to Mike about the Coming of Light, the Alaska Youth Choir, and again, a seminar and equivocation on Sunday. Okay, we're there now.
So they're there now.
Okay, ukulele at Rockwell in the morning.
Nice.
The home show continues.
Yes.
We have Intro to Roller Skating with the Roller Girls over at the Marie Drake Gym. High Gravity Games.
I'm emceeing this.
Cool.
I am. So the High Gravity Games is this really fun thing. It's a comedy. There's 3 different events. They're all fun. Anyone can do them. They're totally fun. And so one is a keg toss. That's right. It's kind of like a discus throw, but it's with the top of a keg that you toss.
I was thinking it was
toss.
The whole keg, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
That would be really amazing. I'm voting for that next year. Yeah. And then there's the crash cool dummy, which is the thing where you can't use anything living, but you put together anything that'll stand on a sled or a sleigh or skis, and you send it down the hill unmanned. Pretty fun. And then
sort of
there's
the soap box derby only with skis.
right. And then there's the relay, which is really fun because it combines downhill skiing with a snowshoe leg, and then going into the human dog sled leg, in which they've added a new thing there where you have to go and pick up your serum. And then deliver it.
Wow.
And the serum has to remain intact or else you're penalized.
Excellent.
So it's really fun stuff.
Yeah, it's all to benefit SAIL.
It's all to benefit SAIL. And the Alaskan Brewing Company is going to be up there with a beer garden, serving beer.
There'll be music.
And they're co-sponsoring as well. There'll be music, all that stuff. So it's a really fun time up on Eagle Crest on Sunday.
And
starts
then,
at 1:30.
Yes. And at 2 p.m., the Cinema Book Club is reading The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Oh, there you go. Oh, well,
at the Downtown Library.
Okay.
And the yoga workshop continues out at Aldersgate. It's family movie afternoon over at the Downtown. I think it's the Douglas Library, but maybe it's the Downtown Library. The Secret of Kells is the movie they're showing. At the Jack, Kristen Mabry is doing an essential oils class. You can do Sunday swing at the Rookery. I don't think you dance on the tables. They must move them out of the way.
Move them away.
At 4:30, the Juno Student Symphony Winter Concerts at Glacier Valley. These are all hummable. These are the ones you know. Blue Danube.
Thus spake Zarathustra.
I mean, things you recognize by people you will recognize,
very
too.
Cool.
So you should go and support them. At 6:30 p.m., Seven Wonders of the Universe, again at the Marie Drake Planetarium, $5 if you're 18 and under. It's free. You can see the plays again. You know, we're going to just remind people you could see the plays, and then it'll get to the end of the month, and you'll go,
So go see them now.
And I want to speak on that subject about Ladysmith Black Mambazo, which is coming on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, and we are down to 50 tickets.
Oh, so there are just a few left.
I thought
it had already sold out. So
no, we
it
are
has
just
not
a few
sold
left,
out yet.
And I believe we'll get a couple more that are going to be released. But
so jahc.org is the place to go. Ladysmith Black Mambazo, if you've been hearing about it and thought it was sold out, it is not quite sold out yet.
Right. And the other thing that we're going to try to, I want to make sure people know, it's at 3 o'clock.
Okay, 3 o'clock on
Sunday.
Okay, we've only got 10 seconds left, but 3 o'clock on Sunday, that's Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Okay, the other thing I want to mention is Tuesday is Mud Rooms. That's at Holy Trinity at 7 p.m.
And that's it. Nancy Attorney, thanks.
Okay.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear.